This is CliffCentral.com. The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
I'm Adrian Groenewald, with me Louis Groenewald, and Barbara Dale Jones, CEO of Bridge Projects. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Adrian.
So, yeah, we're going to talk leadership and education with what seems to be a principal of a school in Limpopo that may be doing great things, if the awards are anything to go by. And I'm excited to talk to him. But first, anything on, or before we look at the education scene, last week we discussed planning with Dr. Seresto of Parktown Girls. And there was a lot of detail, a lot of, I think, high impact. I think so much in there, worthwhile listening to.
It was an absolute masterclass from Anthea Seresto, who's the principal of Parktown Girls, which is a public school in Johannesburg and one of the most successful schools in the country. Mm. And she spoke about planning and the different phases of planning and the different times in the calendar year when planning is necessary for a principal.
She's even on Twitter, hey? She's a modern
she's great.
Principal there.
She's great. So I really recommend that people download the podcast, and I think principals could learn a lot from that.
Mm. Anything on the education front that's worth mentioning, yeah?
Just to highlight, I mentioned last week Principals Up Front would be covered in the City Press, which it was yesterday. That's a dialogue series that is focusing on school leadership and really bringing together school leaders and the people who work with school leaders and giving them an opportunity to talk about how to improve practice and how to replicate what's working. So this dialogue focused on the results that matter, on the matric results and what to make of those results. If you haven't read the City Press, go have a look at it, and you can engage on the SMS line around the importance of matric results and how principals can engage with those results.
Mm. Okay. Thank you so much. All right. Mr. Kope Malatsi, welcome to Leadership Transformation Platform.
Thank you very much, Andrea.
So your school is St. Paul's Secondary, is that right?
Yes, St. Paul's Secondary.
Where exactly is your school? Tell us a little bit about
it's
your school.
Lukau, a small village called Lukau around Frobisher.
All right. So that's not in the depths of Limpopo, but it's quite far. And how big is the school? Tell us about the demographics of kids.
Well, we've got a staff complement of 25.
Uh-huh.
We've got 808 learners.
All right.
And we've got about 5 support staff as well.
All right. And tell us more about the kind of learners.
Learners are mostly from a socioeconomic background. That background.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've been the principal how long?
Well, this is my 16th year. I started on the 1st of October 2000.
At the same school?
Yeah.
Wow. So you've been at that school almost so long, as long as Dr. Caristo at Parktown Girls High. So that's quite long.
A long time. Yeah.
Has the school grown since then? How many kids did it have when you started?
Yeah, we started a school with about 250 learners.
Wow. Okay.
Then up until where we are now at 808 learners.
That's a lot of learners. And before that, you were a teacher?
Yes, I was a teacher in another community school.
So you walked the normal route, you studied to become a teacher, you were a teacher, and eventually became a principal?
Yes.
Do you enjoy your job?
Well, so far I am, okay.
Because I'm told you've won some or earned some awards. Tell us about one or two of those. I'm interested, or just so that we can build on that.
Yeah, the first award I got was in 2001 when I won Nationally Excellence in Secondary School Teaching.
Okay.
As an English teacher then.
As a good teacher then, all
and
right.
And then in 2008, I was part of the Excellence in Secondary School in Leadership and Management because I was already a principal then. So I entered for the Leadership and Management, so I also went to Nationally. And the most recent one was last year on the 7th of March, when I was the national winner again on Excellence in Secondary School Leadership and Management.
So what? How do they decide on the winner or on who receives the award? What's the criteria?
What happens is, started at the circuit level, it goes to the district, then it goes to the province, from province, then it goes nationally. So there will be a number of principals from all other schools, and then you're subjected to an interview, you also submit a portfolio of evidence of what you're doing. And on that basis, they decide in terms of your abilities and competencies in terms of the job that's at hand.
And how you performed, and what are those performance criteria typically?
Well, they would check on the understanding of policies and the implementation. They would check on the management part of it, how do you monitor, how do you manage, how do you lead the school, how do you integrate the school life with the community around yourself, how do you motivate the children to make them excel in the study, how do you keep the teachers focused on their work and make sure that they perform to acceptable standards, and generally the mood of the school, and how do you address the challenges that it has, the question of inequalities, resources, and other things.
All right, so quite a broad range of criteria in terms of how you're performing.
Quite broad.
Well, well done. I want to jump. I don't know how old you are, but I want to jump back 20, 30 years. Tell us about the boy, Kope Malatsi. Where did you grow up? And just let us just get a feeling from where you come from.
Well, I was born in Tafelkop, a small place called Tafelkop.
Hmm?
I went to the local primary school, that's where I did my primary school. And then I did my junior secondary school at Buleo High School, which is also in the same community. And then from my grade 10, which is high school, I went to St. Paul's, where I'm currently the principal, that's where I did my matric. From there, then I went to the University of the Northern Ireland in Purple, where I did my teaching studies. From there, then I went back. I taught at Maliman Secondary School. From Maliman, then I went up to the level of the country, and I found myself as the principal of St. Paul's in 2000.
The line's not too good, but small schools, rural areas, am I right?
Yes.
Did you always want to become a principal?
Look, not necessarily, but unfortunately it still happens, you know?
Did you want to become a teacher? I guess that you did want
to. Yes, I think I was more close to my learners. I wanted to make a difference as a teacher.
I mean, what kind of training have you really had to lead a school, other than being a good teacher? And I guess you became a department head, but specific leadership training?
Yes, so the leadership training, I did an advanced diploma with University of Pretoria for school leadership and management. I also did a course with VET on leadership and management. I also did a course with PIPFAS on leadership and curriculum management. And there's also a course run by CIE on building sustainable Catholic education, which is also in management. So I did a variety of courses for management.
Okay, yeah, I'm just Barbara and Louis in the studio. It's interesting where he comes from. Maybe we can even dig a little bit more into his background. The examples you may have had or not in your life of what a great school is or what a great school leader is. The principal you had or principals when you grew up as a child, were they? Could you emulate them, or were they nothing you ever thought you'd want to be or see in a principal? I mean, did you have good example of principals? Did they impact your life as a kid when you grew up?
Definitely. My primary school principal was a very modest man, very humble, very good, very efficient in so many ways. Actually, he's the one who motivated and encouraged me to think of teaching as a possible career, because he has had an impact in my life as a young boy then.
So that certainly stuck in your mind, that one.
Yeah.
Would you say that you've achieved, become a leader against the odds or not?
Well, I'd say against the odds, because it's not easy.
Because?
It's not easy. There are a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, it's not a easy job.
Well, I think one of the things that's against the odds here is that this is a principal who's working in a rural context. Mm. And I'd be interested, Principal Malatsi, in hearing a little bit about the context around you. You know, what is it like? What are the socioeconomic conditions that your school finds itself in and that your learners' families have? And how are you as a principal coping with the inequities and the contextual realities around you, and in spite of those, making your school work?
Basically, we have a very rural school. Most of the kids are from very disadvantaged families. Some of the households are headed by labor, you know, child-headed families. But we're still subjected to a very large extent of the American labor system. Now, most of the parents are either in children, future, or in urban cities to seek work. And we find the situation where most of the children are left with their cronies or extended family members. So it's quite a beautiful challenge. And because of the level of poverty, it's always not easy to find them in a very conducive environment for studying. So what we have done, we have employed the services of a school-based facilitator, the people who are properly malicious in terms of their socioeconomic background. And on the basis of the information that is collected, we did either fundraising to try to serve them uniform, to try to get in touch with Home Affairs to get them necessary documents for registration of IDs, you know, birth certificates and things like those. And our school-based facilitators would also help them in afternoon with their studies to make sure that their homeworks are done, they monitor them, they support them. Apart from that, the teachers are doing as part of the facilities in the morning and the afternoon to make sure that. And apart from that, we also have a student team in the school, which we try to provide them a meal and give them packets when they go home to try and have something for the evening as a meal, because it's quite a beautiful program for them of them to really have a decent meal.
And are you doing part of this through partnerships? And if so, how are you leveraging the community around you?
We do have good partnerships. Most importantly is the Catholic Institute of Education, which was sponsored by Caritas, and was a project of Caritas. They provide a lot of support in terms of feeding, food, transport, uniform. Of late, we have the BP Foundation that has joined in. We've got the FASA, the social services that are also helping the learners with uniforms. So we've got quite a number of partnerships with local communities, and some of the parents are also benefiting from coming to the school.
I'm interested in how you motivate your teachers. How do you motivate your teachers in a difficult environment, of course?
Basically, motivating them is to try to make them understand the situation around which we're working, to make them understand the socioeconomic background of most of them, to try and encourage them through the aspects of Catholic education to have the welfare of the child at heart, to interact more with the learners, to have one-on-one, check on the learners' dreams, motivate them, assist them, befriend them, mother them, father them, and do the best. And most of the teachers have been willing to do that, and are doing quite a wonderful job in trying to help these learners to really achieve and realize their dreams.
Okay, I'm going to try and see if we can put you on another line. So we're going to call you back, Mr. Malatsi, and just see if the line is a little bit better. I mean, we kind of hear parts of what you're saying, and I don't want us to lose this because you seem to be a very special man. So just hang in there. We'll call you right back.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I don't know what you picked up there. We'll try and get him back on the line. I was struggling to hear enough to actually ask more questions. But here's a good man that I wish was in the studio, but it's a bit far. And yeah, what did you pick up, Louis and Barbara? Anything that you, maybe your earphones were better than mine?
Well, you know, I think there's a lesson here, and we need to learn from principals like Principal Malatsi, who's managing to be very successful as a principal in spite of not having the kinds of resources that are typically associated with good and functioning schools. So he's spoken about the kind of poverty and inequities around him and the households that his learners come from, many of them coming from child-headed households, for example. Mm-hmm. And his having to supplement their feeding, for example, things like that are the sad reality of many schools. And yet, in spite of this, he is successful as a principal, and the school itself is successful. So what is it that he's doing? Well, one of the things he's doing is he says he's leveraging partnerships, and his partnerships are helping him supplement the needs and requirements of the learners. And another thing he's doing is motivating the teachers so that they play some kind of interim role between the family and the learner, and they play more than just a pedagogical role. But I think once we've got him back on the line, we can hear a little bit more about how does he deliver this quality education in spite of the kinds of limited resources that he's got.
I also want to hear his contact with students. You know, those young students we had in the studio, the impact of the principal, because he walks the floor and he knows their name. Is he back on the line yet? Is he not finding him, or...? Don't know the story. I'm willing to bet he's a principal that walks around, that engages the students, who does not sit in his office all day.
I think another interesting thing that he said is how he learnt the habits and successes of leadership. So, you know, he's done some formal training. He's done the advanced certificate in education and some other training with the Catholic Institute and so on. But he also learned from his own principal. And I think that's such an important message for principals, is how the young people in their schools are actually learning from them. And the art of leadership is being learned at that early stage.
I mean, that astounds me. I am 48. Maybe I'm exceptional, but I do not remember one principal's name in all of my education. Do you, Barbara? Do you remember your principal?
I had a very, very memorable one, so I do.
In a good way or bad way?
Well, she was a strong disciplinarian, so she was a good principal, but she was also fairly terrifying.
Okay. So you would remember her name?
Yes.
All right, Louis?
I remember high school's one. I was hostile, so I remembered. I'm not sure how positive it is, but on the whole, he certainly made an impression. And on the whole, he did kind of motivate us to achieve the highest we can, which I appreciate.
Mm. Yeah, and I wonder, in fact, I look at those three students again, the impact of their principal was so obvious, you know, that it's almost like a father to them, wasn't it?
And the teachers as well, quite frankly. I was impressed with that one.
Yeah.
No, really played a role. They admitted that because they said they didn't have much of a father image themselves. And he played that role.
So, I mean, he won an award, our Kope Malatsi. Did you get that clearly, Barbara? It's certainly a national award, is it? Of managing a school successfully, and there's a portfolio of evidence, and there's several interviews, and so he must stand out.
I was interested in what he said about one of the criteria being having a look at the mood of a school. Because I think from the mood of a school, you can gauge quite a lot of the functioning of a school in spite of its context.
Okay. Let's just see. Kope Malatsi, are you on the line?
Yes. Okay.
Let's see if it's a better line. We're singing your praises here, but we want to learn a little bit more from you. We a few weeks ago, we had three matriculants who just, in fact, they were the star students of an under-resourced school. And and they were in our studio, and we asked what impact their principal had on them. So I want to know, what's your style like? How do you manage your school? How much time do you spend outside your office versus in the office?
Well, it varies from day to day. There are days that I'll spend more time outside supervising children of getting on classes. And there will be times where, due to admin work, a lot of correspondence, that I'll be office bound for the better part of the day. So it would vary from day to day.
All right. Are you someone who engages the matrix or the students as such?
Yes, I'm also offering religious education for grade 11 and 12.
Okay. Barbara, you wanted to know about the sort of the teaching side.
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe Principal Malatsi, if you can talk a little bit more about the whole business of instructional leadership. How do you lead teaching and learning in the school? You spoke about how you're motivating your educators. How are you leading the teaching and learning?
No, basically, I'm performing my normal duties as a teacher. Like a normal teacher would do, I'll prepare my work, I'll go to class, I'll teach my learners, I'll give them work. And that will also be helping, because one will lead by example, you know. That's walking the talk. You can't expect teachers to be going to class if you don't go to class. So that's basically what I'm trying. And I'm also engaging some medias, like, you know, playing DVDs for the learners for certain sections in class, so that at least they could be motivated and see some of the things in reality, what's going on around them.
So it's interesting. You've mentioned a number of times in the interview your link to teaching. You started out as a teacher. You obviously see yourself first and foremost as an educator. That's where your roots are. And even as a principal, you're walking the talk, as you put it. You're in the classroom. You're leading by example. You're showing your teachers what it is you expect of them. And Adrian, we've had this with other principals on the show who've spoken about the importance of staying in touch with the instructional routines of the classroom. Principal Malatsi, we had a guest on last week who was talking about the most important role of the principal being teaching or leading the teaching, leading the learning, the instructional leadership of the principal. What would you say to that?
To me, Barbara, curriculum is core in the school. Even if you delegate, but you really remain accountable to the curriculum in the school. So it's very much important to make sure that you really are hands-on on the curriculum, you manage, you lead, and you also monitor as much as you support. So I would agree 100% with that.
Okay, here's a question, last question for you of the day. What time do you arrive at the school and what time do you go home? In essence, mostly.
Wow, you're exposing me now.
You leave at 3 and you come at 8.
I arrive at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And the earliest I leave the office is 5 o'clock in the afternoon, around that time.
It's a long day. It's
very long.
It's a full day and more, in fact, and it's very intense. It's busy. It's a busy environment. It's kids. It's
very
teachers.
Busy.
Yeah.
How do you get supported? Do you work with other principals? Are you part of a community of practice? Does the district support you? What are the sorts of things that you do in order to keep your own head above water and your own professional practice going?
Locally, we've got principals forum within the circuit. We're about 26 schools. We meet fortnightly. We discuss common challenges, common threats, you know, which provides a very secure and supportive environment. And apart from that, in our region, we've got Catholic Principals Forum as well. Schools in Bowdoin, Mpumalanga, and Limpopo come together in a Principals Forum. We meet at least twice a term, and that's where we also have a safe space to share good practices, to motivate each other, to share each other's problems. It has been a wonderful experience and a very wonderful kind of a networking group.
Well, we need more principals like you, and we salute you, and thank you for making a difference, no doubt, in that community. Your final advice to principals?
My final advice to my fellow principals, I'd say, no matter what, there's always a room for improvement. There must no hard work pay. No matter what, we'll always learn. Never say I've learned enough to learn more. To be ready for whatever challenges will come their way, because there will always be challenges at all times. They must strive towards pursuing their goals. They must bring their team on board at all times. They must be open for new ideas and new innovation. They must be lifelong learners, and they must do a lot of networking.
Principal Kope Malatsi, all the way from Limpopo, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much again.
All the best.
Bye.
That's it, Barbara. I mean, I think we analyzed it in the middle somewhere there, and it's clear, despite the bad line, a good principal, and I hope others can learn from his example.
And I was reminded of what Anthea Seresta said last week, where she, one of her pieces of advice for principals was to always read. And he's saying be a lifelong learner and open yourself up to learning and the importance of learning. It makes me think of the Stephen Covey notion of sharpening the saw. You need to keep inputting into yourself as a leader.
All the time. Good balance there. Louis, any final comments?
No, I just like, you can sense, Arden, that if he was my principal, I would be motivated. There's something authentic about him that comes through as a leader. I think because Barbara's point is always nourishing himself, you know, feeding himself. I appreciate immensely to sense the presence of people like that.
That's it, Leadership Transformation Platform, 12 to 3. Great being with you for all three of those hours, and look forward to being with you next week, where we will have a leadership masterclass, business masterclass, class, and ultimately also leadership and education. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the rest of the day.
The Leadership Platform was brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company. This is CliffCentral.com.